Welcome to La Radio du Cinéma. Today, I am very happy to be presenting a new short directed by Cass P.S., A Good Death, starring Tracy Fornes, Stephanie Estes, and Jenny O'Hara. Welcome, Cass.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
We would love to hear more about the making of the film on its own. Can you tell us about the effects that you use, as well as the presence of any storyboard or mood board?
Well, when I started developing the project, I work more with mood boards than storyboards. When it comes to shot listing, I make a traditional list. storyboards themselves have never really worked with my brain. So I don't use those in terms of planning the shots out, but in terms of coming up with the mood and the palette and the tone, I definitely do a lot of image gathering and research that I can share then with my cinematographer and my production designer and make sure that we're all kind of on the same page in terms of this spooky world that I wanted to create. And we ended up landing on a new genre, we joke, that we coined, that's high femme gothic horror, where there's an element of dread, but also an element of grandma's attic. So that there was kind of wedding this like quaint, frilly, fragile delicateness with this danger and dread and fear. So I kind of wanted to work with my design team to all be landing in that same place. And I feel very good about how we achieved that. In terms of the effects, it was honestly, it was a long journey for me. It was my first time ever working with VFX in any capacity. So I had a lot to learn. There were several elements that we wanted to do in camera, which we, like for example, the sort of nightmare space that Amalia goes into, this kind of like red and scary. We had initially imagined doing that all in camera by mounting the camera on the actress and using a series of lights and the setting, and the footage that we ended up getting just felt very digital and very kind of plasticky, and it didn't have this like visceral, corporal feel that I wanted. So we were fortunate to have a really amazing VFX artist already on the team, and so he kind of came in honestly and sort of saved the day by taking the footage and being able to find ways to manipulate it and give it the feel that I wanted. So that every filmmaker has that moment of terror when you go, oh God, I didn't do it. I didn't pull it off. This is terrible. But as we say in the States, teamwork make the dream work. So luckily I had an amazing team around me and we were able to get those effects there. But one of my other favorite effects in the film, which is the toe, when the women are floating, that was entirely practical. We had our amazing Grip and Electric team like build this rolling bench for the two actresses to sit on, and then just had a low camera capturing that creepy, toe drag. That was a stressful day on set because it was a lot of work for a shot that lasts, I think, maybe 2 seconds. But it was all, again, I was really fortunate to have an incredible team, and we made it all work, and we're all really proud of how it came out.
Why are female-led stories important in cinema today?
Well, I think that I can comment specifically more to female-led stories in the genre space, especially in horror, because I think that, we have this concept of the final girl in the horror genre, where it's the last girl who's the virgin, the blonde, the one who's innocent and who doesn't deserve to die, and her salvation and her being protected from the killer or the monster is always so important, and upholding this ideal of, protecting femininity and protecting virginity. And I think that in the last 10 years, there's been this great move away from that, where there are more genre horror stories where women are centered as flawed and as anti-heroes and as people who have problems and things they're trying to figure out. And that's so much more real to the actual female experience in the world. And so I think that continuing to show complex, complicated, imperfect women at the center of any kind of film genre just continues to be important because that's the world that we live in. And, you know, it's women have a whole different life experience. They move through the world differently with different fears and different dangers. And I think that bringing that reality to the screen is just, you know, if film is, you know, if art is supposed to be a reflection of life and vice versa, then it's on us as artists to do the work to make sure that our art is, you know, representative of the world around us.
What are you hoping for the short to inspire?
Well, a theme that I have often returned to in my work is the idea that grief is absolute, and that grief is obviously one of the most horrible emotions to experience. And we spend most of our lives running away from it, avoiding it, hoping we don't have to go through it. And then inevitably, when you do, our impulse is to deflect it and to not experience it and to hide from it. And my feeling is that that ultimately is an impossible, like, mission, and that grief is gonna, you're gonna have to deal with it one way or another. And my theory, that this idea that I like to come back to, is that if you do try to, like, sidestep grief or find a tricky way to avoid it, it'll come back to you in another way, probably worse. And so in my film, Amalia, the protagonist, is dealing with the grief of having lost her mother. And instead of dealing with it, she has found this kind of this healing practice of being a death doula. And so instead of really sitting with the grief about losing her mom, she goes into these other families and she helps give them the good death that her mom didn't have. And that's a beautiful practice and a beautiful, you know, way of helping others. But she's not dealing with her own grief. And because she has these blinders on, she ends up in this terrible situation where she ignored warnings, she ignored red flags, and suddenly she's, you know, really up Schitt's Creek, basically. And so I think the message that I want to give people is, as yucky and messy and sad and terrifying as grief is, you just have to go through it. There's no trick. There's no shortcut to getting around it. And so that's definitely kind of a deeper message that's, I feel like, kind of baked into the film. I think, you know, the lighter message is, if a situation feels weird, you should leave. But, you know, nobody in horror stories does that. Otherwise, the movies wouldn't be very long. So,
what was the space that you left for silence?
Ooh, that's interesting. I mean, I will definitely say leaving space for silence for me wasn't something that I came in to the project consciously thinking about. Because we were aiming to make a short film that was of a really easy length to program, we were aiming for 10 minutes or under. The film ended up coming out at 11 minutes and 13 seconds, I think. And we were looking at, could we cut that extra minute off and make it 10? And we kind of realized there's no fat on there, really, and we would be losing really, you know, important story, important character development if we cut anymore. But the result of that is that it did end up being pretty dense in terms of the story. So I'm just trying to think, like, I'm not sure there are too many moments where there is a ton of breathing room. And maybe that's to the detriment of the film. I'm not sure. But yeah, I think that short films are tricky to build silence and space into because you have so little time to achieve so much. But I hope that I did achieve a pacing and a rhythm that didn't feel too in your face and too kind of like relentless. But I guess that'll remain to be seen.
However, one of the characters is pretty silent. Dead silent.
That's true. So Gertrude, who is our dying woman, is, well, that character was really interesting to dig into, because what we kind of decided, me and the actress, was that Gertrude is suffering from some form of dementia, you know, Alzheimer's. She's confused. She's losing track of reality. And I don't want to give a spoiler for the end of the movie, but basically she and Tabitha have this mission, you know, this ulterior motive. They have this sinister reason for why they really want Amalia to be there with them in the house. And the problem is that Tabitha, the daughter, knows this and understands this and knows what they're trying to do, but Gertrude is confused and therefore is at risk of giving the game away, you know, like saying something that will reveal to Amalia what their true intentions are, which would make Amalia hopefully run for the hills. So I think that Gertrude is being silent quite a lot strategically, because she knows that if she slips up and says something scary or threatening, that this woman might leave. And as we later learn, they need very badly for Amalia to stay till the end. So, you know, there's a scene earlier when that first scene, when we meet Gertrude, she is more talkative and speaking more, and we see how angry that makes Tabitha. And my hope is that in the moment, the audience will be like, well, what's going on? Why is Tabitha, you know, but, and I wanted to create this sense of, is Tabitha abusing her? Is this a dangerous situation for this older woman? And then later find out what's really going on.
Thank you, Cass. Great speaking with you.
Great meeting with you as well. Okay. Thank you so much.